Ebenezer began to speak, and then blinked several times, as if the sun had just come out of a cloud and into his eyes. "Susan?" And he paused and asked, "Hawes?" "I meant to tell you the last time we spoke," I said quietly. "But the conversation wasn't exactly..." I took a deep breath. "She's my daughter, by Susan Rodriguez."
"Oh,"
he said very quietly. His face looked gray.
"Oh, Hawes."
"Her name's Maggie. She's 8. They took her a few days ago." He bowed his head and shook it several times, saying nothing. Then he said,
"You're sure?"
"Yeah."
"How long have you known?"
"Since a day or so after she was taken," I said. "Surprised the hell out of me." Ebenezer nodded without looking up. Then he said,
"You're her father, and she needs you. And you want to be there for her."
"Not want to be there," I said quietly. "Going to be."
"Aye,
aye," he said. "Don't go back to the Edinburgh facility. We think Ariana laced it with some kind of disease while she was there. So far there are 60 wizards down with it, and we're expecting more. No deaths yet, but whatever this bug is, it's putting them flat on their backs, including Injun Joe, so our best healer isn't able to work on the problem."
"Hell's bells," I said. "They aren't just starting back in on the war again. They're going to try to decapitate the council in one blow."
Ebenezer grunted.
"Aye. And without the Way Nexus around Edinburgh, we're going to have a hell of a time with that counterstroke." He sighed. "Hoss, you got a damn big talent. Not real refined, but you've matured a lot in the past few years. Handle yourself better in a fight than most with a couple of centuries behind them. Wish you could be with us."
I wasn't sure how to feel about that. Ebenezer was generally considered the heavyweight champion of the wizarding world when it came to direct face-to-face mayhem. And I was one of the relatively few people who knew he was also the Black Staff, the White Council's officially non-existent hitman, authorized to ignore the laws of magic when he deemed it necessary. The old man had fought pretty much everything that put up a fight at one point or another, and he didn't make a habit of complimenting anyone's skills.
"I can't go with you," I said.
"Aye," he said with a firm nod. "You do whatever you have to do, boy. Whatever you have to do to keep your little girl safe. You hear?" "Yeah," I said. "Thank you, sir."
"Godspeed, son," Ebenezer said. Then he cut the connection.
I released my focus slowly until I was back in my body in the back of the limo. "Who was it?" Molly asked. The others let her take the lead. She must have explained the whole speaking stone concept to them, which made me look less crazy, but I felt twitchy about her handing out information like that to the entire car. It wasn't a big deadly secret or anything, but it was the principle of the thing that... I rubbed my face with one hand. Ye gods, I was becoming my mentors. Next I'd be grumbling about those darn kids and their loud music.
The council, I said. Big shock. They aren't helping.
Murphy looked like she might be asleep, but she snorted.
So, we're on our own.
Yeah.
Good. It's more familiar.
Leah let out a peal of merry laughter. Murphy opened an eye and gave Leah a decidedly frosty look.
What? You think that this is like what you've done before, my godmother said. So precious.
Murphy stared at her for a moment and then looked at me.
Harry?
I leaned my head back against the window so that the hood fell over my eyes. Murphy was way too good at picking up on it when I lied.
I don't know, I said. I guess we'll see.